Okay, so Parshas Tazria, of course, one of the primary topics is the affliction of Tzaras. Again, a lot of technical stuff in the Parsha about different forms of Tzaras. Basically, the Gemara teaches us that Tzaras was basically white. In order for Tzaras to be Tzaras on the body, there were four levels of white that it could be. That's what the Torah talks about. Se'es, o sapachas, o baharas. The Torah only was three, but the Gemara identifies four. You can look right in the beginning on page bottom of 321. Adam kieb or b'saro, se'es, o sapachas, o baharas. There's basically four different levels of white. The Gemara talks about something being white like snow, white like the cement in the Beis HaMikdash, white like the yolk, not the yolk, the other part of the egg. The egg white, the white of the egg. So there's different levels of white. So we're going to begin by the Ksav HaKabbalah identifies this idea of this whole point that the body reflects something that's going on in the soul. The body reflects the soul. You know how that, I don't know, they used to have like, people could tell what's going on in your life by looking at your palms. They could read your palms. So it comes from this Ksav HaKabbalah. He builds on the idea of that Tzaras. The whole idea is when you got leprosy, not leprosy. Tzaras isn't really leprosy, but this type of illness. When you get Tzaras, the idea is that your bad midos on the inside are being reflected on your physical body on the outside. Because we know Tzaras came from things like arrogance, Lashon Hara, speaking ill about people. That's what Chazal say. And yet, how did that reflect? How did that manifest itself? How did God send you the message that there was something wrong with you on the inside? He made something wrong on the outside. So the Ksav HaKabbalah uses this in our first piece to speak about the interplay between what's going on in a person's inner world and what shows up on a person's outer world. And I'll tell you it was a beautiful idea, but then I'm asking myself, what's the lesson? What's the lesson for us? So I think I came up with a lesson. So let's take a look. It was a little bit slim pickings in the Ksav HaKabbalah this week in Tazria. But so I think I chose two interesting pieces. But again, we're gonna go off on one little tangent here. Let's take a look at the Pasuk, Yud Gimel Yud Ches. So Ubasar Kihiyevo Va'oro Shchin. The word basar shows up in the parsha pretty frequently because, right, take a look, you could look earlier. If you look earlier, so starting from Pasuk Yud on the bottom of 322. V'ra'ah kohen, the kohen will see v'nei se'es, there's a white discoloration. Levana ba'or v'yav chaselat u'michias basar chai bas es. There's a michia of basar chai bas es. There's like some healthy skin in the middle of a white wound. Basar. See the word basar. Then again, tzarasni ba'or bisaro yudav. You have basar again. Then you'd gimel v'rakini ksatzas called bisaro again. We don't hear us about basar. It's all about the basar. Yudal is basar. Tesvav basar. So the Ksav HaKabbalah has a fascinating take on the word basar. Again, always focused on the words, but learning great lessons out of the choice of words. Listen to his beautiful idea about the word basar. I never knew this. Again, the word basar is certainly a word that we are all eminently familiar with, but I bet you didn't know this aspect of the word basar. Ubasar, so in Pasuk Yud Ches again talks about Ubasar kiyevova oro shchin. If there's a boil on the basar and then it heals, and then when it heals, there's like another white wound. So that's, again, all this is technicalities of how you discover Tzaras. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but the idea is an important one. Let's see. Ubasar kiyevo, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. Ledati. Shame basar hamachase es hagidin v'ha'atzamos. The name basar, which is that which covers over the sinews and the bones, fleish, I left one Yiddish word in there because I figured that's a Yiddish word that we can all understand. Fleisch. Mishutaf b'muvano im poal basar al hodas habisora mivaser levaser kol mivaser v'omer. Mivaser means to announce, to herald. So his whole piece of Torah is going to be that your flesh announces what's going on with you on the inside. Oh, beautiful. Basar is worth waking up this morning. Basar is levaser. Levaser means to herald, to tell, to announce, to publicize. Oh. Al-Hodaza, ki ha-basar hu ha-mevaser v'ha-modia lachutz es pnimis kochos ha-nafshios. Because your flesh is that which announces to the world outside what's going on in your inner world. The Ksava Kabbalah says there is a connection between the way a person looks on the outside and what's doing with him on the inside. From your flesh, you could tell, he's going to say in the second moment, but you could read your palm, from the folds in your skin, you could tell what's going on in a person's inner world. Ki abasar, hu amavasar v'amadil chetz means because of nafshis. Im tovos heina, or is your spiritual world in a positive, great way? O ra'os, or is your spiritual world in decline, in a bad spot? You could see in a person's outer skin what's going on in his inner world. Kemo shekasev b'mechilta d'Rashbi, like it says in Zohar. Okay, now we're going to have to use our best Aramaic skills here, but I think we can do it. I think we can do it. Let's see. Zohar and Yisro. Daf Ayin, Birozei Derozen. That's a part of the Zohar, the secrets of the secrets. Let's see. Mischalfin, Chizu, Derishimin, Ukmitin, Bemashcha Devarnosh, Mischalfin, change, Lahachlif, Chizu, the appearance. Dirishimin, the lines, ukemitin, and the folds, bimashcha devar nash, in the skin of a human being. Anash is like anashim. There we go. That was pretty good. The folds and creases in the skin of a human being change, lefum ovdoi, v'chul. According to the way he acts, according to the way he is, the folds and creases in one's skin can give you an indication of the way a person acts. Wow. Is l'estakla bidyuknin dibnei nasha. It is important to look at the visage, dumus dyukno shel aviv. Remember that? The visage, the appearance of human beings. Bechotman, his nose, besvavan, in his lips, ba'apion, in his face, biyodin, in his hands. Be'inun sirtutin diyodin. Even the sirtut, the lines, the palms, the lines on his palms. Look at the lines on his palms. Ayin sham ba'orech mizeh ha'inyin. Go look at the Zohar, who speaks about this. Vahatzaras bebasar migale gasus ruach ha'adam. The tzaras, the leprosy, not leprosy, but that type of thing which people call leprosy, which really isn't leprosy. Leprosy is a real illness. Tzaras is not a real illness. It's just this punishment, this indication in your skin about what was going on inside. But says the Ksava Kabbalah, Hatzaras babasar migala reveals gasus ruach adam, a man's arrogance. Tzaras was sent by God because that's what reveals man's arrogance. He thinks he shines. He thinks he shines above the rest, so God made his skin shine with white. It reveals the arrogance of a person. The hergelo b'lashon hara. And the fact that such a person was used to speaking ill of other people. Kemosh kasa rabbi seinu. Like our rabbis have written. Lachain huskar shame. Lachain huskar sham basar kama pa'amim b'mitzora. Therefore, you see the word basar keeping on coming up, pasuk after pasuk. V'chein yomru chach me'ateva ala basar. Similarly, the scientists say about the flesh, shehu mara hanefesh, that the flesh reveals that which is in the soul. The physical external flesh reveals what's going on in the soul of a person. V'hine, lefi hamevuar lama'ayein bazeh. It's clear to anybody who researches this, ha'inyan, shekochos hanafshios misgalos biyoser al partsuf hapanim. People who know about this know that the kochos hanefesh of a person are revealed very much on a person's face, particularly on a person's face. Rabbi David Willig likes to say, especially in the eyes. You could tell everything you need to know about a person by looking at his eyes. Al partsuf hapanim, it's the face that reveals that which is going on inside a person. It's his face. Yitachin lefi zeh ma'od, shem panim bilshoneinu. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, something that we already know from the Maharal, that the word panim, in our language, the face, kimehora aso davar v'hipucho. Face means two opposite things. Yore al shetach hachitzon, on the one hand, on the face of it, we talk about the word, on the face of it means specifically on the outside, on the externally, we say on the face of it, it looks like a certain thing. So face means the external, the face of something. This is the face of it, right? The face. Hanigle vanira kemo lahatzil panim mishamet. V'chein yore al hatoch v'apnimi kemo kol kvuda bas melech pnima. That the word panim means the outer surface of something, but it also is lifnim, panim. It also means what's inside, because on your face, what's outside reveals what's really going on inside. Lechem haponim, Tirgum Yonasan ben Uziel, lechem gva, that's the inner bread. Lefi shehalechem hayamunach ala shulchan bulam shebifnim. Ki achitzon me'apartzof, because the external face, yigale es pnimis adam la'enei shar b'nei adam. That reveals what's inside a person to other people. Okay, so you came to the shir in the morning and you said, very nice. Kamenetsky said over a nice piece of Ksav HaKabbalah about how the external body reveals the inner face. Shkayach, so what does this mean for me in my life? How is this going to improve my okay, very nice. Shkayach. Okay, now you want to know. You want to have everyone know if you ever want to be a palm reader. So now Kamenetsky told you.
And Rakhri Jampak, we could go there.
Yeah, they have a palm reader. But yeah, you read your palms. Right. Read your palms. Okay, Shkayach, read your palms. So I'd like to suggest something. I'd like to suggest something about the way we conduct our lives that we could improve based on this. And it comes from something that Harav Hagon Rav Usher Weiss, this week the DRS Rebbe's had a great privilege on Sunday. We had a little clandestine, off the record, 40 DRS Rebbe's.
Well, it's not, put it on.
Yeah, exactly. It's not clandestine anymore.
And there was an ex-DRS Rebbe there too, right?
Yeah, they were. So we had a clandestine, private, 40 rabbis met with Rav Usher Weiss this past week on Sunday. And he said over something that's very, very, very beautiful, which I'm going to share with you, which I think fits beautifully right into this. And since it was a little bit of a slow week in the Ksav HaKabbalah, honestly, so I figured I would use this beautiful piece of Torah. So the idea is that we're all involved in raising children and maybe grandchildren, and we're also involved in spreading the messages of Yiddishkeit to the world, because wherever we walk, anybody we encounter, whether it be encountering other Jews in shul or encountering non-Jews in the workplace or Jew, wherever it is that we go on the street, we're always engaged in spreading Yiddishkeit, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not. We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representatives on this earth. And the way our faces are about our own Yiddishkeit communicates a message to our children, to our grandchildren, to the world, to the people we see in shul. Our faces, we don't realize. We think, I'm just minding my own little quiet corner in the shul. I'm just, I don't want to be bothered by it. But we have to realize that our faces and our body language reveal a tremendous amount about what our perspective on Yiddishkeit is, especially to our children and grandchildren. Especially. Rav Asher Weiss talked beautifully. He says that he was talking to mechanchem about how to be mechanech the kids. And he was talking about the importance of communicating simchas ha-Torah. You have to know the way he talks, but simchas ha-Torah to kids. Simchas ha-Tfilah, simchas ha-Mitzvahs, simchas ha-Yiddishkeit to kids. So he said that when you want to set up your house, so the house is called the Mikdash Ma'at because we want the Shekhinah to dwell in every Jewish home. The Shekhinah has to dwell. It's a Mikdash Ma'at. So a Mikdash Ma'at has to be patterned after the real Beis HaMikdash. So he said the real Beis HaMikdash, there were three primary kalim that they did the service. Mizbeach, Menorah, Shulchan. The Menorah symbolizes Torah, Kiner Mitzvah, V'Torah, Or, Arotza, Sheyach, Kim Yadrim. The Mizbeach symbolizes Tfilah, Avoda, Tfilos, Keneged, Kabanos, Tikon, Tfilasi, Ketores, Lefanecha, Masas, Kapai. That the Ketores has to do with Tfilah, that was the Mizbeach Pnim, and the Mizbeach Chitzum is Kabanos, is Tfilah. And the Shulchan is Gemilas Chasadim. The Gemara talks about how the Shulchan was the source of all the good that happened in the world. So a Jewish home has to be based on Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. We know Torah, Tefillah, Gemilas Chasadim. But what was the point of the Levium in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Zakhtar of Asher Weiss, the Levium were the Shoarim and the Mishorim. The Shoarim or the Mishorim. What's the Shoarim? The gatekeepers. A gatekeeper has to know what comes into Beis HaMikdash, what has to stay out of Beis HaMikdash. If you're Tameh, you can't come into Beis HaMikdash. If you have a Mum, you can't do service. So the Levium were the Shoarim, the gatekeepers, they would decide. So in a Yiddish home, in a Jewish house, he says, you have to be a gatekeeper. You need gatekeepers in the Jewish house to know what stays out of the house, what doesn't come in. That's one job at Levium. But the Levium were the Shoarim and the Mishorim. The Mishorim, because in a Jewish house there has to be singing. It has to be, the Levium would sing. He says, without Levium, you can't have Avodah in Beis HaMikdash. You can't have the Avodah. You could, if you hadn't have the Mishorim, there's a whole question, is Ikar Shir B'Peh or Ikar Shir B'Kli? Is the Kli just Levesume Kala? The Gemara talks about an Erechin. But a Jewish house, he says, has to be filled with song. Even if you sing off key. Even if you sing off key, it has to be song. Meaning, there has to be joy. There has to be joy. Exactly, there has to be joy. There has to be song. There has to be positive. There has to be smiling. He says this, and he was saying the Iker Vart of a Rebbe in a yeshiva, and it's also a parent raising a child and a grandparent with a grandchild, and every Jew in shul because we don't realize we're communicating messages to every other Jew in shul too. And every other non-Jew and Jew or non-observant Jew that we, in the workplace, there has to be that the Levium. Every house needs Levium, which means it needs song. It needs the joy of being a Jew. He said over, beautiful Vart, he said over that when, so my Vart from this Tzaras piece, Basaro, the Ksavak Kabbalah says, Basar is Lashon Levaser. Your Basar, your flesh, is Mevaser, heralds to the world what's going on in your inside. So if you're Baal Lashon Hara, so the Tzaras is Mevaser to the world, that you're about, that's who you are on the inside, you're Baal Lashon Hara. Beautiful idea that Basar is connected to Levaser. Never heard of it before. Beautiful. So what I'm extrapolating out of that is that if a person feels that his Yiddishkeit is the greatest thing in the world, or that Torah study is the greatest thing in the world, or that mitzvahs, or davening, tefillah is the greatest thing in the world, or making a bracha is the greatest thing in the world, or if we think that our Yiddishkeit is the greatest, so our faces and our bodies have to exude that. He said, I was once a kid, Rav Asher Weiss said, I remember once being a kid in yeshiva, A certain mashkiach came to speak to us. He gave us a shmooze about simchas ha-toyra. And he's talking about how we have to have simchas ha-toyra. So I was wondering for myself, if he has a doctor in simchas ha-toyra, how come I never saw him smile? How come the mashkiach, I never saw him smile? He's talking about Torah, this Torah, that he's not smiling. If he has a degree in simchas ha-toyra, he's telling us all about, so how come I never saw him smile? He's always upset. He's never happy. Doesn't look like he's always upset. He's always in a bad mood, in a foul mood. He's never happy. He said that one time towards the end of the Klausenberger Rebbe's life, that was his Rebbe. His Rebbe, the Rav Asher Weiss's Rebbe, was the Klausenberger Rebbe. So he said, I once went to visit my Rebbe, the Klausenberger Rebbe. He was sick. He was very towards the end of his life. He was lying down. I walked into his room, and it was Venafochu. Usually, when you went to the Klausenberger Rebbe, so the Rebbe was the source of all the teaching, all the learning. He was the one talking. The Rebbe asked me a kasha. He wanted me to answer something. He had a kasha for me. He wanted me to answer. He asked me the following kasha. He says, how come Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Zavas Cholav U'Dvash? Eretz Yisrael is called Zavas Cholav U'Dvash. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But in Shir HaShirim, the pasuk says, Nofes Titofna, Dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonech. It's flipped around. Dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonech. Eretz Yisrael is called Eretz Zavas Cholav u'Dvash. But in Shir HaShirim it says Dvash v'cholav. So the Klausenberger Rebbe asked me this kasha. So I said, you're the Rebbe. Me'mecha anu shosim. How could I answer the kasha for the Rebbe? He says, no, afal pikin. I want you to give me an answer. Give me an answer. So Rav Asher said, so I gave him an answer. I think the answer is, he says, I thought the answer is very passionate. He said, I think the answer is very simple. When you're talking about, when you're counting the shvachos of the land of Israel, of Eretz Yisrael, for sure, chalav comes before dvash. Chalav is a much more basic, fundamental good that a person needs. The chalav has to come before the dvash. Chalav, the world, the babies couldn't live without chalav. The world couldn't exist without chalav. Mammals, the whole world, there would be no mammals if not for chalav. We would only have to survive with reptiles and amphibians and birds, but we wouldn't be able to have any mammals. It's all chalav is it makes the world go round. Animals, a baby nursing from the mother, chalav is crucial. So dvash, we would be able to survive without dvash. The only problem we'd have about dvash, he says, is what we're going to do with the apple on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. We have a problem what to do with the apple. So the rabbis would figure out something else to do with the apple if we didn't have honey. Honey, the world could survive without. So the Eretz Zavas, we're being minor, the Shvachos of Eretz Yisrael. It's Eretz Zavas, Cholav U'Dvash. The Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about Torah. Noves titovna sipsosayach kala dvash v'cholav tachas l'shonech. When it comes to Torah, what's the dvash and what's the cholav? The dvash of Torah means duv shosel Torah, means the sweetness of Torah. The sweetness of Torah has to come before the chalav of Torah. The chalav of Torah is the amal, is the hard work. He says, and he had rayas. There's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about the chalav of Torah. So says the duvshes al Torah, the beauty of Torah comes when you hear a beautiful shir, the shashua shel Torah. That's the dvash, right? The Torah is compared to dvash. We actually learn out that you're supposed to have sweet milchig and sweet on shvuas from that pasuk dvash v'chol of nofes titofnes of saichel dvash v'chol of tachas l'shoneich. So he says that. Gemara Brachos and Daf Samach Gimel. You only find the chalav yotze mechema misha meki alei chalav sheyinoik mishtei imo. Gemara says in Brachos that you will only find Torah in someone who's willing to vomit up the milk that he puts so much effort into the Torah. He puts so much yigia into the Torah that he's willing to vomit up the milk that he drank from his mother. The Gemara talks about that's the highest form of hard work, of amal and yigia, by Torah. So when it comes to Torah, the Navi...
Is that because of the tart from the mother to milk?
No, he's talking about extracting cheese from the milk. That you have to work so hard that as if you that you have to see the Gemara over there in Brachos Sam Kimmel. I'm not sure, but he was saying the Gemara there uses milk as a metaphor for the hard work of Torah. Listen to this. There's a medrash. This is unbelievable. Unbelievable medrash. I never heard this medrash, but he says he put it in the introduction to his first sefer. Rish Lakish writes in the medrash, anyone who says Divrei Torah and they aren't sweet on those who listen to them, like a kala that's sweet to a chasan, it's better that he didn't say the Divrei Torah. Wow, that's a big achrayis for the people Magide Shir. That's a big responsibility. Anyone who speaks Divrei Torah and they are not sweet to the one listening to them, like the kala is sweet to the chasan, it's better that he didn't say the Divrei Torah. A medrash. Got to find where it is. He says introduction to his first sefer. So I think we have a responsibility, right? Pekudei Hashem Yishar Masam Chelev. That's the motto of DRS on top of the DRS Aron Kodesh. The whole goal is that the Divrei Torah should be sweet to the kids. Pekutso, right? That's why he says Davudraham. We know that the Rambam writes that there are three categories of brachos. There's Berchas HaMitzvah, Berchas Shevach VaHodah, and Berchas HaNenin. Three categories of mitzvahs. But the Avudram says there's a fourth category. Berchas HaTfilah. Avudram has a fourth category, which are basically bakoshos, requests. Berchas HaTfilah. So the Avudram writes, why do we say three Berchas HaTorah in the morning? Some say it's two, some say it's three, whether it's VeHarev or Harev. It's two, the two or three. So the first one, Asher Kiddushanu, that's clearly Berachas HaMitzvah. The third one, Asher Bach Harbanu, the Gemara calls that Shevach VaHodah B'Pashtus. That's the Shevach VaHodah. What about the middle one? Harevna, make it sweet. So he said, the Avudram writes, that's this fourth category of bracha. It's a bircha, it's a request. Harevna, Hashem, please make Divrei Torah sweet. Why? V'ni anachnu v'tzetzainu v'tzetzai tzatzai amcha akulanu yodei shemecha v'lomdei sorasech l'shmasar. Vashar Wai said the pshat, that's a lot of people say this pshat, that if the Torah is sweet, why are we asking the Torah to be sweet? If the Torah is sweet for the Tati, so then Yiddishkeit will be passed on to the children and the grandchildren. Harav Nashon Kes Divrisecha V'niyah Nachnu V'Tzetzainu Kulanu Yodei Shemecha V'Lomdei Sarasecha L'Shma. If Torah study is sweet for the Zeda, so then it's a good chance it's going to be sweet for the son and sweet for the grandson. It's a tautology. Mm-hmm. It's not two separate requests. It's Haba HaTalia. If it's going to be sweet, right? That's why it was also with Talmud Torah. Anyway, all of this we see from the Tzaraas, right? From the Tzaraas. Anyway, this is part one of the shir. Oh, so anyway.
Was the close of the Rebbe happy with that answer?
What's that?
Was the close of the Rebbe happy with that
answer? He didn't say, but apparently he was. Apparently he was.
Sure, otherwise he wouldn't repeat it.
Yes, I would say so. Oh, so I wrote up that whole little shtickle for you, so you have it now, in case you ever forget. Oh. Oh, just one other beautiful thing about that. One other thing about that. Asher quoted two other beautiful Mar Makomos in that once we're on the topic. Such a beautiful topic. The Gemara Menachos and Daf Yud Ches says that Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua one time was giving a shir, Menachos Yud Ches, Rav Elazar ben Shimon was giving a shir, and the Gemara says, Tzahavu panav shel Yosef HaBavli. He was giving a shir, and Yosef HaBavli, his face lit up during the shir. Zolgu einav shel Rav Elazar ben Shimon demos. So Rav Elazar ben Shimon was giving a shir, he started crying at how much his Talmud, Yosef HaBavli, was enjoying the shir. Tzahavu panav, his face radiated and beamed that he enjoyed the shir so much. And he said over the pasuk, he said over Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim, Shedivrei Torah Chavivin Aleichem, Mo Ahavti Sarasach Liyom Sichasi. So Rav Asher Weiss says, whenever he hears that song, Ashreichem, Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim, so he starts crying because he thinks about this Gemara Menachos, that Tzahavu Panav Shel Yosef HaBavli, that the Talmud was rejoicing. So he says, now every time he goes to a chasna, the band is playing. Whenever he walks in, the band starts playing. Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim. He says, I think the secret got out, that
that I'm thinking all the time about this Gemara Menachos. Yeah, or they're probably just playing it because he's a Talmud Chacham. But he says they must know that I love this Gemara. I think about this song, and I another Gemara. This Gemara. Well, this is the last point about this. There's a Gemara in Brachas on Daf Tes. Unbelievable Gemara. The Gemara says that the Gemara tells the story of a certain Amora that he used to walk around happy all day long. They asked him, "Why do you wear happy?" He says, "Well, this morning I accomplished the mitzvah of Smicha School with Tefillah." So, and he walked around happy all day long because he did the mitzvah of Smicha School with Tefillah, which means he did what all of us do every single day. He said Kriya Shema before Shmon Esrei without a hefsek. So everybody asked, like, why is that such a big deal? So he talked about how when your davening goes well, the fact that you're besimcha, that's a good thing. If your davening went well, you feel like your davening went well, and you're happy about that. That's what you're supposed to be. He says, normally I see a guy, he's a big smile on his face. I'd ask him, why are you so happy? Did you just win the lottery? He says, no, I did smicha school at Tefillah. You say, okay, I have a good psychologist for you. I need a firm psychologist. You did smicha school at Tefillah. You're so happy. He says, no, you need the psychologist. Because, okay. One more, we have one more very long piece of Ksava Kabbalah. Oh. So here we go. So the godless of this piece of Ksava Kabbalah, which is very long, we're not going to do the whole thing. But the godless of this piece of Ksava Kabbalah is one of the goals of the Ksava Kabbalah is he always wants to defend Chazal, defend the rabbis. And especially, he lived in a time where people were saying, the rabbis, they don't know what they're talking about. He always went out of his way to show that the Torah Shebaal Peh there's no contradiction between the Torah Shebaal Peh and Torah Shebaal Ksav, because he probably lived the time where he was like, okay, the Chumash we could deal with it, all these Gemaras and Halachas, baloney, it's all a bunch of malarkey. So he went out of his way to always show how the Torah Shebaal Peh, mamish stims 100% with the Torah Shebaal Ksav. It's all one Torah. It's all one unified whole. So here you have a problem. Why? Because there was this whole process that Tzaras, the Kohen would look at it, and it's certain, depending on what it looked like, sometimes the Kohen would lock the guy away for a week and say, okay, let's see what happens. If it spreads, it's Tzaras. If it remains the same, it's Tahar. But the problem is, in the Chumash it said, now, if it would change from light white to dark white, or dark white to light white, or remain the same in any of those three circumstances, as long as it didn't spread, it's tahar. But the Chumash doesn't say that. That's what it says in the Gemara. The Chumash says, if it got lighter, it's tahar. That's not the way we pass in Lacha L'maisa. So the Ksav HaBal has a problem on his hands. The Gemara seems to be against the Chumash. He says, no problem. No problem. Let's see what he says. And on the way, we have a few other beautiful ideas to share. Let's take a look. Keha HaNega. Let's look at the Pasuk. Yud Gimel Vav. Look at first Hey. And the Kohen would look at it on the seventh day. If it didn't spread, so he would put him away for another 7 days. And then the Kohen would see him on Pasuk Vav on the seventh day of the second set of seven. It got light. If a low pasa, it didn't spread. V'tiaro is tahar. Here's the problem. What do you mean? What about if it stayed the same or it got stronger? According to the Gemara, it's still tahar. So what's going on? You thought the word keha meant got light? Guess what? It doesn't. Kach amru chacham, shebesof shavu sheni, bein shekeha nega. The rabbis say whether it got light, mimara sheleg, from snow, which is the strongest white, l'sid ha'echel, to a lighter white, which is the white of Beis HaMikdash. Sheyadam l'krum beitza, or the, not the yolk of the egg, what do we call it?
Egg white.
The egg white. Albumin. It has a name. What the? Albumin. Oh, here we go. Albumin. Did you know that the white of the egg is called the albumin? And what's the yolk called?
Yolk.
Okay. Okay.
The crumbe is that? I thought it's that little membrane.
Crumb usually means a membrane, but I think it means the white.
It has a membrane in the egg.
Okay, I thought it meant the white. Maybe, you're right. I'm not sure. The white of the egg. I don't know. It's the white of the egg. I don't know. Vafilo ha'aza. Even if it got stronger, the white, Shehaisa Kisid, it was like the cement of the lime
the limestone, the white of the limestone of the Beis Hamikdash was a little lighter white than the Sheleg. But so it became from lighter white to the Sheleg. The Kol Shekein Amda Memarisa, certainly if it just stayed the same, Kol Shelo Pasa, as long as it didn't spread, Mitara. The Kohen would say it's Tar. Vim Kain, Perish HaKosev, Vinei Kea Nega, Shechoza Lamara Nega Acher. Kea means it changed colors. Kigon Mishel Aglesin, Hoel Velo Pasa Mispachasi. Shelo Tomar, so that you shouldn't say, Kevan Shenishtanes HaNega Lamara Nega Acher, you shouldn't say, since the Nega changed to a different color white, Teirah Kevatchila, the Kohen should have to look at it again. Another 7 days. Ba, because of Liman Shu Tahar. The same halach is true if it didn't get lighter, if it even got stronger. It doesn't make a difference if it got lighter, stronger, or stayed the same. As long as it didn't spread, that's the only factor that means anything. It's still Tahar. I lost my place. Call Shulag, yeah. Right, but you telling me is not going to help me. Okay, pointing is good. Ah, Vim Tishal. First time in 14 years that happened. Okay. What are we up to, 15? I forget already. I think 14, 15 years. Vim Tishal. V'lamalo hiskira kasuv he'oza ukemosha kasuv kea. Why did the Torah mention that even if it got stronger, it also is tar? No, it's telling you, even if it got lighter, if it spread, even if it got lighter, it's still tummy. Okay. Uperish kea shehukeha leecha mimaris tagan gon misheleg v'ad krum beitza shadayin negahu avalamata mimaris tagan. But if it got lighter white, even then the krum beitza. If it spreads, but it got lighter even than the krum beitza, that's too light. That's not even a nega at all. Okay, so that's all, everything he quoted to us, but it's all quoted from the Ramban. But the Ksav HaKabbalah does not like the Ramban's Pesha. I still don't like the Lashon of Kea. It still doesn't work. It should have said, even if it gets stronger, if it doesn't spread, because that's closer to it in the pasuk. The spreading is what's close to it in the pasuk. How do you know that if it gets stronger and it didn't spread, it's not tummy? Ulagodo koshi adavar, so the Ksav HaKabbalah says it's really a taka, a shtarka kasha. It's a shtarka kasha. Ulagodo kshadav nirali, lekarev das rabosenu b'derech hapshat. Velomar she'ein milas keha perusho chol shas hamar v'rifyonim michaska. Shvach! He says the word keha does not mean shvach. It doesn't mean that it got lighter. It's not what it means. Avomilas keha mistayef mimilas ko. Sheyora al hisdamus davar ledavar. Ko asu avosechem. Similar. Keha means similar. It could be similar stronger. It could be similar lighter. But it just means similar. Ko yezarecha. Sheinyanam hisdamus dome. Sheyizdamus elzebidimma. Even though it's not exactly the same, but as long as it's similar. I'm sure we all knew this pasuk in Nachum. It's talking about the destruction of the capital city of Ashur, Nineveh. I looked it up. I have no idea what's going on in the Navi Nachum. I'm embarrassed to admit. But apparently, there's a one of these years we'll learn Tanakh together. But Ein Keil Leshivrecha. It's talking about the destruction of the city of Nineveh, the capital of Asher. And the Navi Nachum is saying, there's no comparison to your brokenness, to the destruction that you're undergoing. Klomai, ein dimyon l'shivrecha. Ah, it's a makar, unbelievable. So kea doesn't mean less. It means there's no comparison. Like ko. Ko yezarecha. Al derech ma adam eloch, ma ashvelach. Pasuk in Eicha. Ki amishuka betzara, a person who is wallowing in his pain. Bishamo ki achirim domine lov betzara yisnachim ktsas. Person who is wallowing in pain, if he hears that somebody else's pain is like his pain, right? The best people to pay a shiva call, I learned this after sitting shiva, and after the best people are the people who just went through a similar kind of case. My father just collapsed. He just passed away, like in the middle of nowhere. So people who go through an illness, it's one kind of mourning. It's a long journey illness. That's one kind of pain. I'm not trying to judge one or the other. Both are pain. They're all, it's all painful. Losing somebody is always painful. But if it happened in the way, if someone, right? Tzaras chaver is chatzi nechama, Chazal say. Person who experiences a crazy tragedy, a crazy, terrible, the worse it is, and the more son or a young person, let's say, chas v'shalom, achmana litzlan, a young person. So someone who went through the same kind of thing, that he can be menachim, another person, in a way that nobody, that somebody else just can't, you can't give the same kind of nechama. You can't give the same kind. That's what he's saying over here. If you hear others had a similar tzara, yisnachim ktsas. The pasuk in Nachum says the next words are, "Your pain is an inheritance from your ancestors." Klomar, makoscha yerusha ilach kilo avasecha avasecha yumukim b'makoskele v'ateva holichos amin amolidim l'nodol al mehem. It was hereditary. You're never gonna have healing from it. Alright, we're running out of time. Look at the next bold place. The rabbi's chaos means doesn't matter which direction it goes. It gets more strong, less strong, as long as it's similar, it doesn't get too light, then as long as it spreads its tummy, if not that. The other thing I wanted to say, he has another little piece here. He says that when you're sick, if you either get better or get worse, either way, it's a sign that your body's fighting. You're still alive. But if you remain the same, that's the worst. It shows that your body's not doing anything. And that's a sure sign that ultimately you're going to, it's not going to work. So, at the end, by the way, at the very end of the piece, page 4, at the very end of the piece, he says, another definition of K mamish means ko. It actually includes anything. Look at the last line. V'zeu malas haTorah shebichsav. Shekolelos bilshona Torah shebichsav includes this lashon hamakudash, in the holy language. Es kol hamakul b'yodei b'Torah shebal peh. If we would just study the Torah enough, we would know that all the explanations of the Torah shebal peh are in the Torah shebichsav. You see who he's talking to, all of his cohorts. And even if it remains the same, if it changes a little, it remains the same. The point is that the Torah upholds, the Torah Shebichsav is one together with all the explanations of the Torah Shebapeh. It fits in beautifully. There's no reason to ask kashas. He patches the whole thing up. So we have to have an appreciation, gentlemen, for our Torah. It has to be on our faces. Just like the tzaras, the mitzora, would wear on his body the arrogance of lashon hara and the evil speech. So if we have a sense of pekudei Hashem yishar misam chelev, if we have the simcha of Yiddishkeit inside, so we're not supposed to walk around all day long. Rav Asher Weiss said to the rabbis this week, A Ben Torah has to be the happiest person in the world all the time. You're a Ben Torah, you have the schus to study Torah, to daven, to do mitzvahs, to wear tzitzis, to wear tefillin every day. We have to realize we have the best life in the world. You have the best life in the world. That we're all oske Torah, that we're b'nei Torah, that we're yirei shamayim, that we're over the Hashem. We have to feel like we have the best life in the world. All the problems that we have in our lives are nothing compared to being a Jew, compared to the simcha of being a Jew. And our very visage and persona has to reflect that and radiate that at all times. That's the musa he was given to the rebbes. That if you want the talmidim to have simcha and Yiddishkeit, so the rabbeim have to be people who radiate simcha sator all times. And parents and grandparents, it's the same thing. Only simcha sator. Devash v'cholav. Hopefully we should be zocha to live lives of
Simcha Satorah, Simcha of Yiddishkeit, and radiate that so that we should be Zoche Taka, Anachnu, V'tzeetzo'enu, V'tzeetzo'enu, V'tzeetzo'y Amcha, B'tzeetzo'y should always be Yodei, Sorosech L'shma, have a wonderful Shabbos, a good Chodesh, should be a Chodesh of Geula and Yeshua for everybody, Nisan.
Amen.
Rabbi Chanan Me'achash, Rabbi Tzokash, Baruch Hu, V'zachus, Yisodin, Baruch Hu, Adonai Chafetz Zaman Tzikoy Adil Torah Yadir Yud Gad Alvi Yizkadash Meir Abba Yomad Yivach Yerusev Yomach Malchu Tzay V'chay Yechov Yomach Chom Chay V'chol Beis Yisrael Ba'ad Olam Zvan Koribi Meru Amen Yish Meir Abba Mubarach Le'olam Ulome Omaya Yisparach Yisharach Yisfar Yisamav Yisnasevi Yisador Yisalevi Yisalol Shmei the good job, Leila and Kova Hassan, she was sad, just because of the Akhmasad, and Rami Omar, and Ruame. I saw our Baba Tavide, our call Tavide, Tavide, Matamandaski Moraisa, the Vassar, David, you call us our Vassar. Yelon, Hulkhan, Slover Abba, Kid of the Kiss of Barak and the Khanri, comes on Rivike, who for coming Kadawam with the Vishmaya, and Ruame. Yeh, Shalom Rabba, Min Shemaya, Chai Molina, Malko Yisrael, and Ruame. Hosea, Shalom, and Romabi, I said Shalom, Molina, Malko Yisrael, and Ruame. There is Shir next week. There is Shir next week. The week after next, there won't be Erev Pesach, there won't be any Shir, but there is Shir next week. Okay, are you flying?
Monday.
Okay. Have a great trip. Stay. Enjoy.
It's a good week. Arya has that dinner for Harav Nano this week.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Harav Nano dinner. Oh, yeah, he's flying. There. Right. It's unbelievable.
But that's the whole...
That's the whole goal of it. Yeah, exactly. Right. At this point, that kid should see enjoy it.
Right. That's the whole...
Exactly, yeah. That's right. This week is the big wedding.
Yeah. Meanwhile, everything's proceeding, with the, plans. We were still going through the permanent process. It'll take time. But I see it starting probably right after Tisha B'Av.
That's not going to be until the end of the summer.
Yeah, because it's not going to pay to disrupt. We have to order steel. We have to order the bricks. These things take, 3-4 months,
right.
To your order. We're hoping today you get the final plan so we can send it out for bidding. So if it goes out to bidding before Pesach, we'll get prices mid-May till we order. The stuff will all come in. But we could start with the digging and the preparing, before the, I would love to get the parking lot. I told this to Richie. He's arguing with me a little, but I think just Jacob will agree to try to get the parking lot done before we reopen in September. Understand? If that can be done. We'll see. Because that, I think, will be a little disruptive. The trucks go. You see what's going on in Central Avenue?